Case is taken under advisement. The court will proceed to the fifth case, Casey versus St. Anne. Mr. Elias.
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the court. This is a case under the Individuals with Disabilities Act that is really one of first impression in this district, and indeed, as far as we could ascertain, there is only one similar case in the entire country. What it involves is the application of the so-called stay put provision of IDEA between two separate legal entities, two separate school districts.
What's this two separate legal entities business? Why is the elementary school and the high school for the same kids in two different school districts?
Your Honor, I don't know. It's a fact. They are two legal entities. In Illinois, there are actually only three types of school districts. One is an elementary school district. The second is simply a high school district. And the third is what is called a unit school district that combines, it's a K through high school district. But under state law, you can have one of these three different school districts for the same community, or
well,
two
what,
of them.
How close are these schools?
The middle school and the high school are three blocks apart.
Well, that doesn't answer my question.
I'm sorry that I missed.
No, you're talking about the elementary school and the high school. What's the middle school?
Well, the middle school was eighth grade.
There are two types of school districts,
right?
Elementary and high school.
Right.
Now you're injecting middle school. Okay. Where's that?
Okay, an elementary school district is usually divided under the traditional system K through 5, which is called the elementary school district part of the elementary school district, and a middle school, which is what we would normally call junior high.
Those aren't separate districts, though.
No, but in being asked how far the school districts are apart, they encompass the same geographic area.
So you're saying
the
middle school is part of the elementary school district?
Correct.
Now, is it a separate building?
Yes.
And how far is that? And so he was in the middle school or what? I've forgotten what
he was scheduled to begin eighth grade in the middle school, and he never went there. So, but that was the school he would have attended.
He would have been in middle school.
Correct.
And so now where's the high school in relation to the middle school?
Three blocks away. But it's still a separate legal entity.
Well, so what is a separate? What if every grade were a separate school district? Would you make the same argument?
Absolutely, Your Honor, because
well,
then there would
good.
Be...
I like consistency. But that would be pretty ridiculous, wouldn't it?
And that's why the state does not have eight different school districts for elementary school. But
I don't understand why the elementary school and why the middle school, particularly middle school, why is the middle school and the high school in two different school districts when they're only three blocks apart?
Because under the state statutes, the state has delineated...
That isn't an answer to my question. Why did this town decide to put the high school in a separate school district?
I cannot answer that, Your Honor, except from an educational standpoint. Traditionally, there is a break between eighth grade and high school, as there is a break between high school and a university.
Sure, there's a break, but why would you put it in two separate districts with separate school superintendents? Are these immense schools?
Not in the number of pupils. Geographically, they are fairly large because of the farming communities or the farming areas that surround St. Anne, but no, they are not large.
But you have no idea why whoever makes these decisions decided to put the middle school and the high school in different districts?
I have no factual
thank
answer.
You.
Separate school boards?
Yes.
separate taxing authority?
Yes. And separate buildings.
Perhaps it has a historical base in the agrarian nature of the state, where at one time, especially coming out of farm communities, education may have ended at the...
That's absolutely right. At one time, there were over 950 school districts in Illinois, and then there was an attempt to reduce that, especially in the agrarian areas, and that hasn't happened in St. Ann's. But what did happen here was that the elementary school district, including this kid's eighth grade class, when he refused to go there, the elementary school district made a settlement agreement with the parents that had the elementary school district pay for a small portion, 10-12 weeks, of the eighth grade private placement. Then the IEP that was based on the settlement agreement was written sometime in March of this child's eighth grade year that ended on May 24th, because that was when he was 15 years old. And there's another state statute that says if a child is 15 years old, programmatically, well, at that point in time, his education passes on to the high school district. So what happened here is we had a situation where the elementary school district had a settlement agreement. They paid for 10 weeks. And then the high school district, my client, prepared a new IEP for this student, bringing him back from the private school that he was attending to the high school for summer school and freshman year. Now, what happened then?
But the problem I have with your argument is why from – this is a federal statute, and from the standpoint of federal policy, why should it make a difference how Illinois permits its counties or whatever to break up schools into school districts?
Because the federal IDEA law does not – intrude on the schools.
Well, that's the question.
In their organizations.
That's the question.
Yes.
Why should federal law depend on the technicalities of local law? Presumably, there's some federal policy in this statehood provision, you know, providing continuity and so on for the child, and in effect, subsidizing the parents by allowing them to not have it to reimburse, even if it's later held that they're not entitled to this, you know, fancy private school education. But whatever the policy is, why should it bend in front of what seemed like, you know, very artificial legal distinctions at the state level?
Well, Your Honor, I can only answer that by saying that the federal law provides for a termination date of IEPs. And in it, what I'm saying is that under the holding in the Johnson case, which is basically the same case, although it involved an individual service plan, but it's also under IDEA, the Johnson case indicated that with separate legal entities, the IEP terminates and the new legal entity is not required to follow the IEP, and that was not found to be a violation of IDEA, although I have to say that I am not sure that the specific question, or as how your question was raised, that it was not addressed in Johnson. And my answer is that federal policy or the federal IDEA law doesn't go as far as you say it does in saying that the IEP or the stay put provision continues. Or what I'm saying is there is nothing prohibitive by having a state determine the legal.
I don't see anything in the stay put provision that supports your view. Do you?
And I don't see anything in the stay put provision that prohibits.
Well, I agree with that also. So then the question is how do we decide between these two interpretations of the ambiguous statute?
That I agree with you exactly, Your Honor, and I think you have to look then, although my time is getting up, but I do want to answer that question. I think you then have to look at the purpose of IDEA and the purpose of the stay put, and it's our position that the purpose of the stay put provision doesn't fit in to what happened here, that there was an artificial stay put decided where the elementary school district, since it knew it had a cutoff point of May 25th, cut any deal it could or it wanted to get out from under it, but said that the IEP was to be terminated on May 25th. That's when its responsibility ended, and that's when a new player, the high school district, came in to the field. So our position is that when you look at the stay put provision and IDEA, it does not fit traditionally into this type of a case, and therefore, as Johnson said, the new school district comes in to the case new and can provide its own IEP and can then set up its new stay put. And while it's not in the record, Your Honor, the new reauthorization of IDEA does follow the transfer provisions of the state regarding a situation like this. So while I would agree that the old IDEA provisions are more ambiguous, they may be, or the lawmakers probably saw this problem and have tended to try to rectify it somewhat. I could discuss this further, but my time is up.
Thank you, Mr. Lyons.
Thank you.
Mr. Thomas.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Joseph Daniel Thomas. I represent the plaintiffs' appellees here, Norman and Mary Kay, parents of Casey Kay. The purpose of IDEA is to maintain the educational status quo. And what we're talking about...
I think that's an overstatement, counsel. Isn't that the purpose of the stay put provision?
I'm sorry. Stay put provision, yes, correct. And the stay put provision here is merely an example of normal matriculation. Happens all the time. Kids graduate from one district, they go to another. In Beth B., as cited in our brief, matriculation from elementary school to junior high is a normal progression that adheres to the educational
but
status quo.
But you wouldn't argue that, would you, if he'd moved to a different county, would you?
Why not?
What about a different state?
Well, different state raises questions about who is responsible for administering IDEA. The IDEA was set up so that the state is the primary administrator of the special education. Grants are made to the state. The state has the obligation to enforce the regulations.
And so the state has the authority pursuant to that statutory scheme in IDEA to promulgate regulations that govern transfer situations, inter-district transfer situations. The state has done so in this case, and those apply here and require the conclusion that the then current educational placement of this child was the one that the high school district specified in its IEP. What's wrong with that argument?
Well, I think the first thing I would say about it is that the stay put provision is in a section of IDEA that's entitled Procedural Safeguards. Procedural safeguards were set up so that parents who are not supported by tax dollars in litigation are not overwhelmed by the power of an institution which is supported by tax dollars.
Oh, but the tail is wagging the dog in this case, isn't that right?
How so?
The parents in this case implemented their own choice of placement. In other words, withdrew the child from the public school in which he was enrolled at the commencement of his eighth grade year and placed him in a private placement, and then litigated with the elementary school district over that private school placement. And in order to settle the litigation, because he didn't have that much time left in his eighth grade year and would soon become the responsibility of an entirely different school district, the elementary school district simply agreed to the private school placement, agreed to pay for the last 10 weeks of it, and revised his IEP accordingly. The IEP expired. He attained high school age, was transferred and enrolled in the high school district, became the responsibility of the high school district, and then the transfer provisions took over. The transfer provisions of Illinois law, which implement the federal law.
Well, I don't know that I would agree with that last part, but certainly we did follow the standard procedures of IDEA in the state of Illinois. It says a parent can withdraw their child if they don't agree with the placement, provide 10 days notice, and then proceed to file a due process request, and that's what they did. We settled with the elementary school district, and the parents got what they could get.
But now the parents are trying to impose the status quo on an entirely different district. If this was, for example, as has been suggested, a situation in which the inter-district transfer occurred not because he became of high school age, the child became of high school age and automatically was the responsibility of the high school district, a separate legal entity from the elementary school district, but a transfer that occurred pursuant to a family move to another part of the state. Would your position be the same, that stay put under the federal law requires the receiving district to maintain and pay for the child's placement in a school in an entirely different district?
Absolutely.
A private school.
Absolutely.
Is there any case law authority for that? And is that the way it's handled on a routine basis? Because moves like this occur all the time, don't they?
Yes.
And as
counsel said, it's a matter of first impression. Well, the reason it's a matter of first impression is everyone assumed stay put is stay put, and mere matriculation doesn't all of a sudden change the rules.
No, but my hypothetical about a move to another part of the state, an intra-district transfer in that scenario, in that situation, the receiving district has a responsibility to maintain and pay for a private school education many miles away.
Yes.
And is there any case law support for that proposition? And isn't that what the Illinois transfer regulations were written for?
Well, I don't know that I would opine on what they were written for. All I can do is look at them and say I think that there's an overstatement by the district as to what they mean here.
Well, what do they say? What do the regulations say? That the receiving district may implement the old IEP.
Right.
Or it can implement its own.
Which is just like any other district has a choice on in every special education child in the state. There's no difference between that language and what the elementary school could do in the same student from 1 year to another.
But 1 year to another is the same school district. What
Yes.
we're talking about here are two different school districts.
Well, I believe that the purpose of that transfer provision, as stated by Judge McDade, was merely to specify the procedural safeguards necessary for developing a transferee's IEP.
And that's what we have here. We have a student who's transferring from one school district to another.
Right. It was showing how you hand off the ball. It does not provide for an interim placement, as the Johnson case alluded to in the California transfer provision. And that's the difference. There is no middle ground for an interim placement. Yes, they may produce another IEP, but then that can be subject to challenge, as it is here.
And are there any cases on this question of the significance of a district line?
Not that I am aware of, Your Honor.
The question in the case is, how does stay put apply in the case of an interdistrict transfer? And the only reported case on that subject is the Johnson case in the Ninth Circuit, which says that the receiving district may implement its own IEP, provided that it's comparable. Right?
As Judge McDade explained in his opinion, the Johnson court used the California transfer provision to analogize stay put. We have a different transfer provision here. The California provision allows for an interim placement to last 30 days, I believe. We have no such provision in Illinois.
Well, actually, we do. The interim placement is the IEP from the former district until the new IEP is in place.
Well, yes, but it's not different than, it's not a new invention.
I'm not sure I understood that.
Well,
the regulations provide that the receiving district is responsible for implementing the sending district's IEP
right.
until the receiving district comes up with its own IEP.
Correct.
So there is a provision in the regulations for an interim status quo.
Okay, but it's not a new IEP. In other words, there's no provision that automatically they have to immediately have a new IEP, which becomes a 30-day placement.
Well, I thought your argument was that the transferee regulations don't affect the stay-put provision. Isn't that your provision?
That's correct.
Isn't that your position?
That's correct. But bringing Johnson into it, I have to explain why that's different, and I think that's the reason. It's a different transfer provision of different states. In conclusion, let me just say that I think that what the district is proposing would be problematic across the board. It would mean that with a normal matriculation, then parents could not depend upon the stay put provision as they have in the past, and they might not be able to litigate simply as a matter of resources. And I think that would be unfortunate, and I think it would be contrary to idea. If there are no other questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thomas, Mr. Elias, your time would expire, but you may have a minute if you feel there's a need to rebut.
I just wanted to quickly respond on the Johnson case and the transfer and Judge McDade's opinion where he incorrectly interpreted Johnson. On 1182 of Johnson, there was the argument or statement regarding the transfer provision of California, and the court said the hearing officer did not apply the California transfer provision to Nicholas's situation. Instead, the hearing officer used the transfer provision as an analogy to assist in its analysis of the then current educational placement of a student that must transition between educational agencies, just as we did and just as your questions
I know, but what the Johnson court holds as a fact that there just wasn't any significant difference maintained the stability of Nicholas's educational program and so on, and his likelihood of success in challenging the stay put order, you know, very slight and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Additionally, because Clovis offered comparable placement to Nicholas, no irreparable harm would befall him. Here, at least, it's alleged that the high school isn't going to provide comparable services to this Acacia school. But let me ask you something. I don't get really the relevance of the transfer regulations. I don't see how they... I mean, clearly, when you have... The state can carve up districts and provide different mm-hmm. regulations for the transferees and all that stuff. But I don't see how that affects the stay put. So, for suppose the transfer regulation was intra-district. And suppose it said that when you move from an elementary school in this district to the high school in the district, the high school prepares a new IDEP. Okay, suppose it said that. Now, would that affect the stay put
No, because it's the same legal
entity. So you're not relying on any transferee regulations. You're relying on these district lines.
Yes, but I am, by analogy, as Johnson analogized to transfer policies.
I didn't get the analogy. I mean, obviously, it makes good sense if you move to a different school to have the new school design a new IDP because it knows what its facilities and so on and so forth. But that doesn't seem that operates independently of the stay put, right? If there's no stay put, then yes, of course, it's the new plan that governs. But
absolutely.
If there is a stay put, then it's the old plan that governs until the due process hearing is resolved.
Yes, but additionally, in this case, there was no current IEP because the IEP terminated.
That's your district argument, right?
No. The elementary school district and the parents, in their settlement agreement, said that the IEP that would be written would terminate on May 12th.
But okay. They weren't waiving their stay put rights by doing that.
Well,
you don't argue that. I thought your whole argument was the district lines.
Yes, but when we look to a current IEP, I'm also saying that there was no current IEP to fall back on for the stay put argument. There has to be a current IEP in place to have a stay put argument. Here,
so you make the same argument if the two schools were in the same district?
No. If the two schools were in the same district, then it was the obligation of the same school district when that IEP.
So it comes down to the lines. That's critical.
Yes.
Yes,
but I don't.
I don't know what the yes, but.
Okay.
Because you say if the two schools are in the same district, even if the IEDP, whatever it is, for the elementary school says it expires May 25th, the stay put order will keep it going.
Correct. So, yes.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Lyons. Thanks, both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.